coaching your own kid can be one of the hardest and most rewarding things that you do in youth sports. In this second to last episode of Car Ride Conversations, the series with my dad and former coach, we wrap up with some of his best advice for parent coaches. You'll hear how to define your real role as a coach, why teaching life skills matters more than the scoreboard, and how to manage the emotional highs and lows of coaching your own kid. We also dive into the mental side of sports and how anticipation and awareness can turn an average athlete into a game changer. Whether you're the first-time parent coach or a veteran looking to do it better, this episode is packed with practical wisdom and honest reflection to help you build confident and resilient young athletes. Welcome to Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. Love to hear, so wrapping up this dialogue, about maybe some advice that you would have for other parent coaches, whether this is a first-time parent coach, like you're new, and then maybe a piece of advice for folks that are going to maybe maintain it and how it might need to shift over the years. What are your thoughts? Pop it up.
I think the first thing you have to understand is what your role as a coach is, and it's really to build a competent adult out of your child. You're trying to give them experiences. So teaching them the right way to behave is very important, because no kid knows that intuitively. And sometimes a good athlete is allowed to slide on things because she's a good athlete and doesn't have to put in the work other people have to. And that catches up with you later in life if you don't build those habits of learning how to practice, how to identify your weaknesses, how to work on those, how to improve your skill set. And so the first thing you should do is think about why are you in this? What's your role? We would sit down every year after the season and say, hey, Val, if you don't want to do this again, that's just your call, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, commit to it. If you're not, that's okay. What do you want to do? You got to do something. If you're in it because you want to see your daughter win a batting title, then you're probably off base. If you're because you want her to grow up and be just a good, solid person and who has the skills to be good at whatever she chooses to do, then teach her the right things to do, which is learn the skills that are required for that position, put in the work to hone them, have the correct attitude and mindset to be somebody that's willing to learn and grow and get better.
Yeah.
And you learn as the parent, I think you're probably the emotional regulator. You have to be the adult. When she's too high, calm her down. When she's too low, pick her up. But it's a combination of when to give them a pat on the back and when to give them a kick in the butt.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be perfect at it.
Yeah.
But understand that they're kids. It's a game. You're using that game as a methodology for teaching them life skills, and that those skills are more important than the game. So even if you never were a starter on the team, you can learn a lot of valuable skills.
Yeah, a lot of role playing, or just a role, but playing a role, learning how to get good. Because just because you're not starting, and this is important for parents to know too, that just because they're sitting on the bench doesn't mean they're not still learning skills and developing their crap.
Yeah. And so
opportunities.
I know that reading in the fast pitch forums and everything, what the angst is over patience is playtime and he doesn't like my daughter or whatever, that kind of stuff. Again, my answer is control what you can control. You control your effort. You can control your practice habits. You can control your attitude. You could control your how
effort
it's your body and your mind. And if you're working on all those things, whether that coach recognizes it or not, you're going to still come out the other end as a better person, better player.
Yeah.
The tough ones are if you're going to be the coach, you've got to be the coach for the whole team. And so I would recommend that you take the kind of approach that we did, which is earn your time. Have a way that everybody earns their time in a very visible way and be fair about it. Let people play their way onto the field. And one of the biggest things that I found most coaches do poorly is they practice like hell. Their practices are stupid. And if you line everybody up at shortstop and hit three balls to the left, three balls to the right, throw them to first base, everybody can do it.
Yeah.
Somebody might miss a ball here and there. And they say, oh, look, this person can do it. But then in the real game,
they don't know which direction it's going.
Can't anticipate where the ball's going and never gets to a live ball.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he's going to hit two to the left, two to the right.
Yeah.
So they have the pattern. They know where to move their feet. Then you get in the real game and you realize, hey, the girl's just fouled off two fastballs and now she threw a changeup. I'm going to slide over here.
Yeah.
I'll be ready for that. So the mental side of the game is really underappreciated because there's some mental, to me, quickness is a mental skill. It's
yeah.
Am I in the right place at the right time? Do I get there? So you have to say, okay, this is practice. This is drilling. But now you have to put in things in practice that allow them.
Stimulate game. Yeah.
Game simulation where you can see who really reacts to the real world and is in the right place. And those may not be the same kid.
Yeah. And I think that was always what my strength is that, and I don't know if it's because we spent so much time talking strategy and talking the science of the game and that, but that's where I outshone and probably was why I was able to be successful in college at second base was because I was not slow, but I wasn't fast. I was kind of that middle level speed, but I got to a lot more balls than other kids who were foot speed faster than me. But I understood how to read a pitch and understanding what, okay, the coach just called drop ball outside. There's only one place a right-handed hitter could hit that well. And so I'm going to take a step in that direction. Or you can read the last three at-bats that this person had. They did one thing. So I'm going to just read the odds and I'm going to go in that direction. So yeah, reminding
it's definitely, the mental side of it. That's the same thing with there's some very fast runners that are very bad base runners.
Terrible base runners. Yeah, they can't read a ball.
Anticipate. They don't lead.
Yeah.
And so you got a really fast runner and the ball's hitting the gap and she waits till it hits the wall before she starts running. She gets thrown out at home and somebody else who isn't fast sees what's happening and gets there. So I think that's one of the things that is really hard to build into practice that coaches need to anticipate is there's let people play. If you don't let them play game speed in game situations, you don't really know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And so if this kid's faster so they can play this spot. I remember when you were playing outfield, even for hot stuff, you ran.
I got to a lot more things.
That their speedy center fielder was over there picking your nose, and you're like, "Dude, come on, let's go."
Yeah.
So it's a quickness is that skill where it's quickness, but it's also like just
processing. Mental.
But there's so many small decisions in the game of anticipation, where to go, like even what base do I throw the ball to, where do I slide, where do I back up. If you're standing still on the softball field after the ball's pitched, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
The only one that shouldn't be moving is the catcher.
Yeah.
And it's all that anticipation and practice of what's to do. And so it's not just quickness, mental quickness, but it's how to win awareness. What do I have to do at this moment to actually get a successful result?
Yeah, paying attention to the what next. If the ball comes to me, no matter what sport you play, this is true, soccer, basketball, whatever. If the ball comes to me, what should I be looking for? What should I be trying to accomplish? And if you can teach your kids to think in that way, when the ball comes to them, they've got that mental programming of, okay, plan A, I'm going to do that. plan A is not available. They defended that. So I'm going to go plan B.
Yeah. And there's also a clock in your head that has to be, when you're playing infield, especially.
Oh, sure.
One, two, three, the runner's safe.
Yeah. So don't throw it. Save the throw.
You know? Yeah. And so you get, if you're fielding the ground ball over here and you've already got to three, hold it. Or I can't go
depending on
play here. I didn't get it till 2.5. So it's those are the things that the athletic talent isn't necessarily the mental talent. And it makes a big difference. And that's, I think, one of the reasons our teams were able to outplay superior athletes a lot was because we played smart and we played the right way.
Yeah. Coached the mental as well. So
Christina stole second base on the pitcher.
She was great at that. I love that.
All the time because she just, they were, yeah. As soon as the shortstop put her head down and walked back to pitch, and she'd go.
Yeah.
So it's that, those players are usually underrated and under-evaluated because they...
They're more smart and savvy versus flashy.
They're more David Eckstein than Bobby Witt Jr. It's not hard to see a five-tool player, a Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Fast, strong, power, all that stuff. But there's only 5% of those in the gene pool. So you got to find the kids that are grow and will learn with you and are dedicated to it, and they help them. Because you can win a lot of games with players that other teams wouldn't even take if they're the right kind of players.
If they're coached well, they're motivated, they have a pathway, right, to play well. So
and play as a team and play as a unit. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know what else you could tell a parent. It's, don't get too caught up in the outcomes of things. Focus on your process, because you know what? It's a lot easier discussion to have at the end of the game and saying, hey, here's the way we're learning to hit. Here's what we're going to do. If we get an outside pitch, we're going to do this. Inside pitch, we're going to do this. And then you can judge that success with your kid and say, look, hey, you had a great at bat. Yeah, I know that, you know, the girl caught it and you're out, but that was a great at bat versus smoke a ball in the outfield and it's an out. And, oh, man, you went 0-for-3. It's like parents get too caught up in, they want to go to the water cooler the next day and say, hey, my daughter hit a home run yesterday, or my daughter hit 3 hits or struck out 12 batters or something. Okay. So it's, that's not, you be proud of their effort and their process and the results will come. They just will.
Yeah. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed that portion of the conversation between my dad and I. We're going to dive into some questions, right? Some conversation prompts to help you get something out of this dialogue that we just had. So a quick reminder of the rules. Remember that there are no wrong answers. Take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question and answer it. Or you can just listen to all the questions and discuss whatever strikes your fancy. All right. So let's dive into our first question. When a coach makes a decision you don't like, whether it's about playing time, position, or strategy, how do you usually react? And this is for both parent and kid in the room, all right, or in the car. Parents, how do you think your reactions influence your child's attitude? And kids, what kind of support do you want in these moments? Because it's a fact of life. At some point, if you're playing a team sport, a coach is going to make a decision that's disappointing to you, either about playing time, position, strategy, whatever. And if you don't know how to handle that with grace or with mental toughness and resilience, I can tell you from personal experience, it does not go well. All right. So what does that look like for you? Or what do you think you can do? Second question, what do you think is more important, winning games now or learning skills for the future, and why? Talk about that amongst yourselves. Third question, what's one mental skill like anticipation or awareness or focus that you could both practice this week? So parents, we know modeling these skills is important. What's something you both could work on this week? What's a skill that your kid maybe needs some support using? And especially as a parent coach, somebody who's maybe on the field with them, how could you practice it too as a coach? And how can you help them practice it? Talk amongst yourselves. All right. Our final question of the day is, especially for that parent coach, we know sometimes those car rides home can be tough in particular, because as the coach, sometimes you want to dive into the strategy and talk through things, but you're also a parent trying to support your individual child, and your kiddo might not be emotionally, mentally ready to have those conversations because they're overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they're excited, they're, right, depending on what's happened at practice or the games, they're not in a learning headspace anymore, all right? And so I want you to think about, what is the best way for you guys to talk about effort and learning and next steps without it only being about stats or outcome, and or without completely destroying the car ride? We don't want that car ride to be like an interrogation or this like
We don't want it to be brutal, okay? We want that to be whatever it needs to be for you as an athlete and as a parent. Sometimes it's just to decompress. Sometimes you got to completely leave the sport behind and just listen to music, whatever. But specifically, how do you start to talk about some of the tough stuff?
Okay.
All right, y'all. Remember to keep those conversations rolling and make those car rides count. Thank you again for joining me on Car Ride Conversations. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with somebody that you think would benefit from this conversation, especially some other parent coaches that you have in your life. If you are looking for individual weekly tips, mindset shifts, and conversations to help your athlete stay confident, calm, and clutch, please consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And again, if you have any suggestions or topics that you'd like me to cover, there's a link in the show notes that you can message me directly, or you always have the opportunity to direct message me on Facebook or Instagram at @VAlstoncoaching. And I look forward to hearing from you. All right, y'all. I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.